This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings this morning. Welcome to our lesson today. We're certainly glad you're in our audience. I trust the program encourages you and challenges you. Now, for those of you who would like to contact me, go to my website, bdcministries.com, bdcministries.com. You can use the email address or the postal address given there. The program can be re-listened to there. You can also reach me at Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Now, we've been looking at principles of Bible interpretation, and then we've been going through an overview of the Bible just to try to help you understand the content of each of the books of the Bible and where it fits into our understanding of the principles of Bible interpretation. And so, if you have missed out on some of that information, if you go to my website, again, bdcministries.com, there's a link there to the overview of the Bible and principles of Bible interpretation that might bring you up to speed with regard to what we are doing. Now, last time we dealt with Hebrews, and I think I mentioned that probably in Hebrews, the key verse is found in Hebrews 10, where it says, "The just shall live by faith." Now, that is also found in Romans chapter 1, "The just shall live by faith." It's also found in Galatians, "The just shall live by faith." That's a key verse. But the problem we've got is that when we come to the book of James, it almost sounds like James is saying that the just shall live by faith and works. Now, he's not saying that, and I want to explain that to you here as we go through the book of James. But you have to understand that James, if he was the half-brother of the Lord, as most scholars are convinced he was, then he was raised in a home with a brother who was older than him, who never disobeyed his parents and never sinned. Now, that had to be difficult to handle. If the parents ever disciplined him or criticized him, it would have been because they were wrong, not because he was wrong. Because he was not a sinner, and he was the child that he was God manifest in the flesh from the day he was born, and of course he was conceived by the Holy Spirit. So his father was divine. His father was God the Father, whereas James's father would have been this carpenter that we read about in the Bible that raised these children. So nevertheless, when we look at James, he was living with a brother who exhibited righteousness from the time he was young. I think that might have been hard to live with myself, but nevertheless, that's what James would have seen. Now, the book of James is the first of the New Testament writings, particularly with regard to the epistles. It's the first one, and it's written in the post-apostolic period. And so, as we look at it, we're looking at it from the standpoint of a Jew who's writing to Jewish brothers or sisters, and he's trying to explain to them that if they have faith, then their faith should be evident by their works. Now, the problem we have is that in many of our preaching services, we spend our time on how a Christian ought to live. And there is a lot of truth that needs to be explained to people. People today don't understand the holy principles of the Bible when it comes to the way in which we should live. We don't live like the world lives. We should be, as I've often said, we should be square pegs in round holes. So we tell people what the Bible says about how to live. But in doing that, we sometimes become kind of judgmental when we say, if a person acts a certain way, we aren't convinced they're saved. And so it all almost sounds like we're saying that we're saved by faith and by works. So when we look at James, he kind of makes it sound as though that's the case, and yet he's not. Now, we understand that Martin Luther was saved through the truth that the just shall live by faith alone. He was the often considered to be the beginning of the Protestant Reformation. He had carried out all the ceremonies of the church and was not getting peace with God, but he finally realized that your salvation is by faith alone in the Lord Jesus. And I want to emphasize in this program that I believe that it's not works that saves, it is faith alone that saves. But when you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, John 1, John 3, 1 Peter 1 all tell us that that is a new beginning and a new birth. It gives you a new life. Paul says we're new creatures in Christ, a new creation in Christ. And so if in fact your faith in Christ hasn't changed you, then there is some question as to whether you have faith in Christ. And so you have this tension. Do you get saved by the works, or do you get saved by faith alone? And people listening to a message on how a Christian ought to live would wonder if, in fact, really faith alone is sufficient to save you. Because we have a tendency to say, well, if they do this, they're not saved. If they do that, they're not saved. And so there's always this question. Now, let me be clear. I may have already muddled this a little bit, but justification is by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're sinners by nature. We need to be saved. And God, we read in Romans 3, is just and the justifier of those who believe in Jesus. And believing in Jesus, believing in his death, burial, and resurrection, having confidence in that is what saves for eternity. That's what pleases God. However, when we look at the book of James, we find out that there are people watching us. And those people that are watching us wonder if we have faith. And the way we show them we have faith is not by preaching to them so much as it is by showing them. And so we personally are justified or made right with God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But our faith, that is, the fact that we have faith, is justified, or it's really considered to be it's justified by the fact that we show that we, in fact, want to live like the Lord wants us to live. Now, we have differences of opinion as to what is right and what is wrong, even in the Christian society, so it becomes very confusing. But I want you to be clear that if you have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are saved. And if you have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, then you probably have a desire to please him. And that should be seen by those who are looking on. So faith justifies us before God. Faith justifies, or our works justify our faith, and that's really before men. Now, we often say that the cross has a vertical to it and it has a horizontal side to it, and our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ gets the vertical right, but our demonstration of that faith by our works gets the horizontal right, our relationship with one another and with those who are looking on right. So now, as we look at James, he says in James 2 and verse 8, if you really fulfill the royal law according to the scriptures, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you do well. And so he's telling us there is a royal law. Now, we found that out in the book of Luke as well. The royal law is the law of the king. And so there was a young man who came to the Lord and asked him what he needed to do to inherit eternal life. And the Lord says to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your might, and your neighbor as yourself. But even though that's the standard, we all want to make excuse. And the young man who raised that question raised the excuse, who is my neighbor? And that's when we get the story of the Good Samaritan. And the Good Samaritan was the person who the Jews would have least liked to have helped them. They despise them. There was prejudice, racial prejudice against Samaritans. And so we have the story of the Good Samaritan who comes and helps a man who had fallen among thieves. And he's obviously a Jewish man. And he'd fallen among thieves. And the religious people that were represented by the Jewish system walked by this man who had fallen among thieves, but the Good Samaritan came and helped him. And so while we realize that, in fact, the Good Samaritan pictures the Lord Jesus, it's also a lesson in the fact that there are people who carry out the royal law that we ourselves are prejudiced against, but it's the royal law, you shall love your neighbors yourself, that is important, and everybody, whether we like them or not, is our neighbor, and that's why we preach the gospel to the whole world. That's why we help people who are not saved. We do good unto those who are saved first, who do good unto the household of faith, but we also, I think that in Galatians says, do good unto all men, but especially unto those of the household of faith. But we demonstrate our faith by our works. So let me be clear, we're saved by faith alone. But if we have faith, we demonstrate that faith to others. We justify our faith by the works that we do. But the problem we've got is that he says in James 2 and verse 10, if you keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, you're guilty of all. The law stands or falls together. And so we like to say, well, I may not do this very well, but I do that pretty good. Well, the Lord makes it clear that in this passage that we either keep the law or we don't. And of course, we don't keep the law, and that's why we need to be saved. Now, there's other implications associated with this statement that if you keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, you're guilty of all. But what it tells me is that no matter how righteous you feel you are, if you've never seen your need of a savior, you've never seen the fact that you have violated the law and are guilty of that and need to be saved. And so I hope you'll understand why it's important for us to consider all the teachings of the Lord and to realize that none of us have kept all those teachings, even if we have been pretty good at keeping them. Now, in James, we talk about the tongue, we talk about wealth, we talk about our attitude toward others. All of these things are brought up, and it talks about our relationship with the world. And so the just do live by faith, but our faith is justified by our works. You show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. And so I hope you have faith in the Lord and that you're showing it by your works. Now, our Heavenly Father, we pray for thy blessing upon thy word and upon this program. We thank thee for thy love. We thank thee for the Lord Jesus, and we pray in his name. Amen.